Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric from Gavany, who has a pet dog called Pickle.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Laura Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nephalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Quinn de Greymont, a paladin from Flarbon in the province of Gavany.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Please don't shoot the messenger, but next week the crew are heading south on a short break and will not be around to edit and produce an episode for you. A thousand apologies, but even we need time to polish armour, restring bows and repair those spellbook bindings. As such, episode 104 will be landing a week later than normal on the weekend of the 30th of September. But for now, we will rejoin the adventure in episode 103 as our paladin's pinata is taken to task by a tusk. Out of the shadows stepped a denizen of the dark, intent on waging a battle of wills, and as Ogvar found his consciousness compromised, the clawed creature took control. Imbued with Allura's spell and taking to his wings, Rowan delivered a roasting to the filthy foe and flitted away before the paladin delivered a divine smiting upon it, thus slicing it in twain and putting an end to its depraved existence. In roughly created cages where the patrons had become the prey, blood had flown freely as their lives were reduced to little more than lunch for a nasty nightcrawler. Degradation, death, and decay were all that remained, and subsequently there were precious few souls left to save. Injured and in poor condition, the paladin and sorceress proffered Brady both potions and healing hands. The ranger retreated with the boy, and after exploring further, they found an emaciated old man who, despite their best efforts, sadly slipped into Avacyn's eternal embrace. After the apparent human pinata was cut down from the ceiling of the cave, collectively they beat a hasty retreat, moving more swiftly on their way back to the wagon, where Esther and Ivona waited patiently for their return. After a brief respite to discuss some important issues, the horses were rehitched and our travellers pushed on down the trail, trying to make haste through the darkness with only lamps to light their way. Episode 103. Sparks in the Dark.
Are you looking for a D&D podcast with a dark side? Something more like Game of Thrones and less like Monty Python? Tale of the Manticore is part dark fantasy audio drama, part solo D&D RPG. There's no plot armor here. The dice make all the important decisions. Join me as I resurrect the excitement, wonder, and emotion of old school D&D. Made for a mature audience, Tale of the Manticore is both a fiction and a game. It's the story where chaos rolls.
So your arrow just, it catches on its tusk and pings off into the undergrowth. Are you doing anything else with your turn?
No, we'll leave it there. Let's see what this boar's got up its sleeve.
So once again, it paws at the ground, snorts, and again charges towards you with a 15 to hit.
No, that's going to miss.
Okay, yep, it charges straight past you. You're able to sidestep it, and it travels about 10 foot past you and then comes to a screeching halt and turns around to face you. Your turn.
Okay, on the basis that it's about to be night time, so it'll get reactivated, I'm going to activate my heart-seeking amulet. I'm going to move myself 10 foot sideways, just so that I can invoke my skirmish attack. And then I'm going to fire another arrow at it, which, because I've activated my heart-seeking amulet, it counts as just a touch attack, rather than have to get through any natural armor or anything.
Yep, okay.
So that's going to be 17 all in.
That will hit, yes.
God, there's a lot of ones in there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of ones there.
It's still 11 plus 6, that's still 17 points of damage.
Okay, so you deal 17 points of damage to this boar. Your arrow sinks into its shoulder, sinking partway up the shaft, and it squeals in pain, tosses its head in the air, and it just looks even more furious somehow. It's got this evil red glint to its eyes, its piggy little eyes. Although it's been terribly wounded, it isn't down. It's still going. Is that the end of your turn?
Yep, I've moved and attacked. Yeah, that's me done.
Okay, so the boar's turn. With a natural 20.
Yeah, that'll hit me no matter what.
Plus 4, that's going to hit you. It's going to try and confirm the critical. With a 16 to hit?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't confirm the critical. However, it does hit you. With a full 8 points, 9, 10, 11 points of damage to you. As it charges towards you and sinks its tusks into your leg.
Little git.
It is...
Third time lucky.
It is now basically sharing the same space as you with its tusks embedded into your calf. What are you doing?
As a free action, I'll use the returning crystal on my battle axe to draw it immediately to my hand, having dropped my bow, and I'm going to twat it with a battle axe.
Roll to hit.
Obviously. Why wouldn't you? 15.
Does not hit.
Oh.
As you take a swing, it pulls away, releasing its tusks from your calf and dances backwards, fully evading your blow. Are you doing anything else?
If it dances backwards, I shall do the same, and I shall dance back 10 feet.
Moonwalk?
Yeah, if I could.
Okay, so that will provoke an attack of opportunity.
Yep.
Okay. With a 21 to hit?
Nope.
Okay. So as you dance backwards, it takes a shorter charge to try and once again sink its tusks into you, and you're gone. It ends up ploughing its tusks into the dirt. You can see these two furrows in the ground where it's sunk its tusks in. Okay, so it is the boar's turn now. With a 13, 17 isn't going to hit.
No, it's not.
17 is not going to hit. So again, it charges towards you. It is squealing and grunting. It is enraged. It is also the size of a small dog and not very intimidating. However, it is tenacious. Your turn, Simon.
So is it right next to me, or is it skidded past me again?
It skidded past you again.
So how far away is it?
It's about 5 foot away.
With my battle axe, I'm gonna sort of conspire to sort of curve my approach to the boar so that I've moved 10 foot in getting the 5 foot to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you can take a roundabout approach to it.
Excellent. Right. I'm gonna plat it with a battle axe again.
Okay, roll to hit.
And skirmish attack it again. That's 23.
It's going to hit, yes.
Super.
Right. Roll your damage.
Now I need one of them. And all of them. 19.
Okay. As you bring your battle axe down, you catch this pig, sinking the very kind of the top edge of the curved blade of your axe head into its jugular. And you get a lovely spray of arterial blood as it staggers around before flopping sideways with its limbs weakly twitching. The fury and hate in its eyes slowly dimming as the blood flow begins to stem. And the piggy is dead.
Excellent. In which case I shall carry what is now dinner back to the wagon.
I think by this time we would have all heard this, because obviously this pig's squealing, so...
Yeah, you at the camp, you'd have been setting up and obviously unhitching the horses, and you would have heard this horrific squealing and grunting, and the odd, maybe the one shout of bastard, as it gored Simon. And yeah, you're pretty certain that it's a pig of some kind.
I'm glad you've identified Simon's fruity language without me actually having used it yet.
Yeah, I would assume that we were just stood in camp and each of us, wherever we were, sort of looking out into the darkness ahead as if to go, what the hell's going on down there?
Yeah.
Kira would have gone, it sounds like Simon's having a bit of fun out there. It sounds like some form of pig.
Well, it sounds like it could be dinner coming up, and unless he's not had a good time of it.
Oh, I know. And so he'll get his spit out and put it over the top just in case.
Okay.
If he comes back with just the rabbit, he's going to be disappointed.
So Simon shall return to the wagon.
Yeah. Okay.
Brandishing a rabbit in one arm and a boar in the other. I've bought dinner.
Ah, awesome.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that's good.
Most good.
Well, one good turn deserves another. We rescued you. Dinner's on you tonight, then.
Well, allow me to cook. I quite enjoy doing a bit of cooking.
You like cooking?
Yep.
Even better.
Ha, ha.
We get a night off cooking, Kewin.
Yeah, I'm very good with spicing.
I'm just going to nip back into the undergrowth and see if I can find a few herbs to go with these. So I'm going to disappear briefly out of sight.
Okay.
And I shall return sort of 5 minutes later with some sage, some saffron, a little bit of marjoram, some wild thyme, and some garlic. You know where that's come from.
Yes, I do. Okay.
Well, that's an interesting array.
Yeah, it's amazing what you find in a forest.
Yes, I usually find chives.
Yeah. I've got just sort of to be honest, just like shaking his head. They're not chives.
Simon will then produce his selection of root vegetables from his bag, and sit down and start preparing a selection of let's see, should we go with a bit of carrot soup, followed by suckling pig, rabbit fricassee. And I might do crepes for dessert.
Everyone's going to look at this fare on offer, and she's going to be extremely surprised, also impressed, and in her head she's going to be thinking, blimey, this is almost as good as what they got at the tavern back in Selhoff. Just reminded her of the lunch menu with the meat, roasted meats and stuff.
Yeah.
Smells delicious.
So it does take you a little while to prepare all this food. I'm sure Esther would help out with preparing some vegetables and stuff for you, Simon. If you so wished, she'll offer. But yeah, it does take you a good while to prep and actually cook. So by the time you're actually kind of sitting down to have this meal, it's probably about 11 o'clock at night. It's, you know, kind of for the pig part. Some of the other dishes obviously wouldn't have taken as long. But for your main course, so to speak, it would have been about 11 o'clock at night. The smell of cooking food has roused Ivona, And she bounces out of the wagon, plonks herself down firmly by your side, Ogvar, as close to as to in your lap as she can get. And she will tuck into a plate of food, which I'm assuming someone will serve her, serve for her. Brady hasn't woken up at this time. He is still deeply asleep. Okay, so okay. You have a sumptuous dinner, courtesy of Simon. There was plenty of leftovers, which you can obviously wrap up and store away for the next day, breakfast. I will assume, Simon and Ogvar, between the two of you, you will dispose of obviously any offal, anything which isn't being eaten, dispose of it appropriately, dig a hole in the ground, bury it, make sure that no predators are going to come near camp. And it is a very quiet evening.
The horses would have been unhitched, by the way. And
yes, I did say that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, with everything tended to, food eaten, and the night reaching its depths, what are you doing? Are you're all going to go to sleep? Are you setting a watch? What are you doing?
Well, we'll need to set a watch. Well, I'll take... I think... Seeing now what happened, I think we need to keep watch. So
I'm happy to take one, whenever you like. Just
yes,
slot
I'll,
me in.
I'll take one. That's no problem. You probably could, Simon. You could probably sit back on this one. You know, get a bit of kip to boost yourself up.
A night's rest would help.
Alora will take first watch.
Okay. Esther will offer to take second, and as she does so, Simon, during the evening, she would have noticed that you would have been wounded. How is your wound looking?
I tend to not be very fussy about wounds, so I will have probably sort of thrown a quick bandage on it on my way back to camp and pulled down my trouser leg and made best efforts to sort of not make it noticeable.
Yeah, despite your best efforts, Esther will have noticed she's spent enough of her life around rough and ready men who don't want to show they're wounded to recognise an injury. She casts on you discreetly, mind you, she does cast on you 4 points of healing with cure minor wounds? Cure light wounds, I think. Yeah, cure light wounds.
Kuhn's going to walk over to Simon and place his hand on his head and go... Well, you take a good night's sleep. Leave the watch to us. We'll look you all right. And he's going to cast his two last touch lay on hands onto him discreetly. Because he doesn't have to say anything. He's just got to touch him.
Yeah.
Touch up.
Okay, so pretty quickly the children are settled in. Brady still asleep, but Ivona is settled in next to her brother. Esther's fashioned, a pillow and a blanket out of some old, an old cloak and a cape. Or, you know, she's made a nice little bed for Ivona. And she's tucked up with Brady in the wagon. And yeah, so you all kind of settle down to get some rest. The fire crackles gently in the background. And who was on first watch? Was it Elora?
It was.
Okay, Elora, make me a listen check, please.
A listen check.
Oh, sorry, actually, sorry. First of all, make me a percentile with a 25% increment. So pick your increment and then roll.
Or you can do it that way.
We're all thinking it, yeah,
it's better for like us if we do it the other way.
It was, yeah. A 25% increment. Okay, she'll go 50-75.
Okay.
And that would be a 49.
Well, you missed it that time. You got it last time.
Just, yeah.
Okay. So, Elora, your watch passes quite peacefully. It's a pleasant evening for once. There's a gentle breeze rolling through the trees. You can hear the shifting of needles on these trees. The ground underneath is quite loamy, quite soft. The fire crackles gently in the background. And the lovely atmosphere is punctuated by Kewin's snores.
Alora's probably used to that. It's been a while since they've been out on the road. It's been a good week or so since they've been out on the road, but it's one she's familiar with by now.
Yep. Okay, so your watch passes, you rouse Esther. Esther takes over, and she'll take a roll with the same increment, 50 to 75, with a 65. Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. We're getting into the wee hours of the morning now. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's coming towards the end of Esther's... Well, it's probably partway through Esther's stint. Everyone is woken up by a piercing shriek.
What's that? It's Esther? Esther, guys, wake up. What is that?
What's going on?
I don't know. Esther?
Oh, dearie. Get up. Quick, get up.
I'm up. What's the problem? What's the matter?
Get ready to rumble.
Oh, God, what now?
Bursting through the undergrowth.
Comes The Rock Johnson, closely followed by Hulk Hogan.
You can't see me. As bursting through the undergrowth comes possibly one of the strangest creatures you have all seen. Ogvar, you can make me a knowledge... Actually, everyone can make me a knowledge nature check. Or a knowledge check if you don't have knowledge nature.
Oh, that's a nat one for Alora, so she's like clearly got sleep in her eyes and all sorts.
17 from Kewin.
Twelve for Ogvar.
Oh.
17 for Simon.
Alora's tried to ram her hat back on, and it's fallen down over her eyes.
Simon and Kewin, as this creature bursts through the undergrowth, it stands up on its hind legs, steadily growing to a height of 8 foot tall. You both recognise this creature. It has the lower body of a bear with thick, shaggy, black fur. The upper body transitions through downy feathers to coarser, black, brown-tipped feathers which coat its upper limbs. And these feathers hang down like primary wing feathers of a bird. Each of its limbs are tipped with vicious hooked claws. And its head and neck are almost... They are positioned as in this kind of leaning forward position. It has an avian head with a yellow, dangerously sharp-looking beak. And it releases another piercing scream as it swings forward to attack Esther. With a... 16 to hit her, which will miss, I believe. Check the book.
Let's call it a bear owl. That sounds about right, doesn't it?
6, 5, 6, 7, 8 points. You see its claw, one of these arms tipped with claws, come ripping down as it strikes Esther across her front, dealing 8 points of damage, and also it will then attempt to grapple her.
Ooh. Avacyn above! Oh my god, what is that thing? Oh! Esther!
Bugger, it's an owl bear.
A what?
It's an owl
Look
bear.
At it.
Well, I know, but it's dark and my hat's over me. She's gonna adjust her hat and then...
And Gwyn will turn around and say, isn't your eye working?
Yeah, I've just woken up. What is the matter with you?
Ooh, okay. And Esther just manages to dance away as these claws rip, like they strike her and rip down. You can see lines of blood appearing across her arm where she's instinctually raised to block the blow. And it attempts to kind of sink its these hook-like claws in and grab her, but she's able to just about escape away from it. So everyone, roll me initiative.
Wow.
Cubing's got 14.
Ogbar's got 23.
Laura's 27.
Cool. Simon 16.
Oh, Esther with a nat 20.
Nice.
Oh. Tidy.
Okay, so our order of combat is Esther at the top, followed by Elora, followed by Ogvar, followed by Simon, then Kewin, and then the Bear Owl.
So we're all getting a crack at it before it gets another go.
Hopefully.
Yep, well, with any luck. First up is Esther. So, at the moment, Esther is the only one up. The rest of you are still on the carriage. I will say that you would have got up at the piercing shriek, so you will be on your feet, but however, you are on the carriage. To dismount the carriage, that will obviously take up half of your movement action.
Do we all fit?
Fit?
Yeah, it's a pretty big carriage. You would have all... Oh. I mean, Esther is obviously not sleeping in there. Kewin is in there, the two children, Ogvar and Simon. Unless
like
somebody
a tin
was
of sardines.
Not, unless somebody was not in the carriage.
Well, instinctively, I don't like sleeping indoors, as you know, so I probably would have slept under it.
Okay, you are starting off prone.
Yep, happy with
right.
that.
Right. So, Ogvar, Kewin, you are up. You will have to spend half of your movement getting off the carriage. Simon will start off prone, so you will have to expend a full round of movement to get up and out from under the carriage. Elora, you are the same. You will have to half round movement to get out of the carriage. Esther is up. The owlbear is only about 15 foot away from the carriage.
Oh.
Apparently.
Okay.
The two children have woken up. Brady is very dazed, very confused. And Ivona is screaming in terror, and she's just huddled herself under a blanket, pressing herself under the bed to the carriage. Okay, so Esther first up. Esther is going to make an attack with her sword. With a 21 to hit, it will definitely hit. So, Esther will deal a d8's worth of damage. 5 points of damage plus 1. That is 4 points of damage.
6
points of damage. There we go. 6 points of damage to the creature. So, Esther, she's drawn her sword, and as she dances out of the way, she takes a half step forward and brings her sword down into this creature. It's got an incredibly tough hide, and with the black fur and feathers, it's difficult to see any damage appearing. But you do see a cloud of feathers kind of explode upwards as her blow slices through. She will then dance backwards out of the way, attempting to give herself some room. So she's going to try and move 15 foot backwards, which will provoke an attack of opportunity from the creature. It rolls a 14 plus 9, 23. A 23 is definitely going to hit Esther. So with a 23, it rolls damage, which is a 7 points of damage. It will then attempt to initiate a grapple. So with a 25 to grapple, as opposed to Esther's grapple, which is Esther's just rolled a nat 1.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
So, Esther, you see Esther dance forwards, strike a clean blow, a small puff of feathers is released into the air, which catches on the breeze. She attempts to skitter backwards, but as she does, she almost trips ever so slightly on some loose, perhaps a loose rock, losing her footing and concentration for a second. The owlbear's claw comes down, hooking into her arm again, the same arm which it caught before, and this time you see the claws sink in and then sink around her arm, grabbing her tight and holding her fast. Okay, so next up, Elora.
Elora's initial thoughts on what she would do have literally just changed. She is going to just jump down out of the back of the carriage, so only just moving a short distance as half her speed. She's literally going to stand by the carriage, and from where she can see, obviously she can see quite well because of her eye. She's going to cast lightning bolt directly on the creature in an attempt to try and get it to release Esther.
Okay.
It's a reflex 17 save.
Reflex for half damage. 17. Okay, so roll to hit. Oh no, is that a roll to hit one?
No, it's not. It's
wow. 100.
It's just a save.
Well, with the owlbear rolling a nat 1 on the reflex save.
Yes! Get it!
Roll your damage on that lightning bolt.
Help yourself to some
thank
dice.
Thank you. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
There's one more in there if you need it.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so that's 8d6. 8.
Oh, there's some biggies in there.
8, that's 14, 15, 20. That is 30 points of damage to the elbow. Right there. And Elora is just going to shriek at this thing and... Get off, Esther! Esther, wiggle! Get free!
Did you say 30?
Guys, do something!
Did you say 30? 3-0.
I did 30 points of damage.
She's going to be like the rat in the tunnel.
I don't think I'm going to obliterate an owlbear, no matter how much I might like to.
No, your shriek almost...
Keep them all out. I'm going to need them in a minute.
Your shriek almost rivals this creature's. As you screech at both Esther and the owlbear, your attack hits and you can actually visibly see the smoke rising from its fur and from its feathers. You get this smell, this kind of charred smell, like kind of melting keratin, as this creature judders. Its claws are jerked free from Esther's arm, dealing Esther further damage as they rip out. So not much, only a further point of damage as they rip out. And it stumbles backwards, and you can see the smoke rising from its entire body.
Elora isn't afraid for herself; she's afraid for Esther.
Okay.
At this point.
Next up, Ogvar.
So Ogvar's got down off the wagon, used half his movement. So he'll. So is it in front of the wagon, behind the wagon, to the side of the wagon?
The way you've set up camp in this kind of little grove of trees, you've got your campfire in the middle, you've got the carriage to the left-hand side, the horse is tied up near the carriage, and this creature has entered from stage right, charging over towards Esther to take this initial swipe. Esther's been stood by the fire, kind of 15 foot away from the carriage, so if you jump out of the front of the carriage, you will be... on the right side, basically. If you go out the back, you're going to be the wrong side.
Yeah. Okay, so Ogvar will do that, and then sort of... Because the kids are in the wagon, he will sort of, like, try and make a bit of commotion out towards the front to sort of draw its attention away from the wagon and the kids, moving out from the wagon, and with that he will shoot an arrow at the owlbear.
Okay, roll to hit.
Okay. Do you want me to roll just one and then the other one for the second attack?
Yeah, roll one, then one.
Okay. Oh, that's cocked. It's almost a 20. Right, that is... 22.
22 will hit, yep. Roll damage.
Okay. Okay. That would be...
Stick one in it, Ogvar!
8 points of damage.
8 points of damage. Nice. Okay. Roll your next one.
Okay. It's going to be 19 to hit.
19 will hit. Does that hit your critical threat range? Or is that that's all in?
No, no. Yeah, I was all in, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and that will be another 8 points of damage.
Another 8 points of damage. Yes, nice. Okay. So.
Just say no. Keep it away from the kids.
Nice one, Ogvar.
You see that your two arrows, they fly true and they bury itself kind of into the upper right shoulder of this creature. You see the arrow sink and you see this kind of, this dark blood begin to trickle off of the feather. You see a kind of small rivulet running down and it's just dripping off these primary feathers. Are you doing anything else on your turn, Ogvar?
No, just shouting to keep away from the wagon.
Simon, you're up next. It will take your full round to get out from under the wagon.
Does that include if I use my chrono charm?
If you use your chrono charm, that will not take the full round, no.
So if I use my chrono charm, would I be able to roll out from under it and still get an arrow away?
It will take half movement to get out from under the carriage instead of full movement. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the chrono charm. So I shall activate my chrono charm.
Okay.
And roll out from underneath the wagon, probably in the opposite direction to which Ogvar went. So I'm heading towards the back of it, I suppose.
Okay.
And I shall draw my bow at the same time. Have I rolled 10 foot?
No, you won't have rolled 10 foot.
That was worth a try. Okay, so for now I'll just fire the one arrow there.
Okay, so roll to hit.
That'll be 27 all in.
27 will hit. Okay, roll me some damage.
11 damage.
Nice, 11 points of damage. Cool. Okay, so yeah, again, you release a bolt, and like Ogvar, you see it impacts into this creature's arm. You see the shaft buried deep. It looks a very solid hit. And yeah, it's clearly done some damage. This creature again shrieks and it is ear piercing. Kewin, you're up next.
Kewin's gonna go, Esther! Right! Right, that is it! So Kewin's gonna take 15 foot to get out of the wagon. Then
yep.
he's gonna run up to it.
Yep.
And smack it while activating its gauntlets as well.
Nice one. Okay, so you'll get the +2 because you'll be charging, you'll have enough distance to charge there.
Okay. Yep, so.
It's a roll to hit.
That's 17, 15, 19.
That will hit, yep, so roll me some damage.
Right.
What was that? Hold on, it's going under the chair.
Don't forget your other d6.
I'll be out. Can I have two more d6s?
Two more d6s, yeah, no trouble.
Plus 3. Oh. So that's 10, 16, 22, 23. 26 damage.
Ooh, nice.
Wow. Okay. And that's with your lightning gauntlets as well, yeah?
Yeah, that's the charge of the lightning gauntlets.
Okay. The charge of the lightning gauntlets. There's an episode title.
yeah.
Okay. Describe it.
Oh!
It didn't even get a go!
Kewin gets out the back of the house, sees the situation, shouts, and he just jumps forth and brings his instead of using the sword as a slicing weapon, he literally has got it in the one hand and he brings it directly like a pick, like a stick in a pig, into the owlbear, and his the grasp explodes and takes the owlbear's head off.
Okay, yeah, you all hear this. You're here, and you all see as the kind of this sword impacts on the top of this owlbear. You hear a massive boom, and there's this brilliant flash of light. And as the spots clear from your vision, and you kind of blink away these kind of black spots, you all see this 8-foot-tall creature, now headless. You can see it's almost like someone's done a dissection on it. You see a smoking spinal column surrounded by vessels, viscera, and meat. Steadily dripping, not even dripping blood, where it's been seared and these veins have been seared shut. The head has been basically evaporated. It is a wet mulch on the floor. The only solid looking thing left is the beak, which is obviously made of a harder keratin. But even that is cracked and smoking. And slowly this corpse slumps to its knees before toppling over nearly into the fire, and it is dead.
Well, that's tomorrow's barbecue. Esther, are you okay? Oh, good job, everybody. Esther, you all right?
Yes, dearie. Blasted thing caught my arm a bit, but oh, you know me, I'm all right. I'm made of sterner stuff. I'd have given it a good old spanking if you'd left me to it.
No, I wasn't going to leave you to it. That thing was huge.
Well, because it's still the day before, isn't it? The time to wake up. No?
No, nope. I have to get past midnight.
Yeah. It is past midnight.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
You lot are quite handy, aren't you?
we've encountered a few things, shall we say.
Ogvar, do you want to check on the kids?
Okay, no trouble.
I heard a Vina screaming.
Yeah, so Ogvar will go round to the back of the wagon, and hello, is everybody all right? Are you okay in here, kids?
Ivona peeks out from under the bench. Although she was screaming, she isn't crying. She just looks extremely scared. But now that the danger is gone, so to speak, and you've dealt with it so efficiently, she's more curious than anything else. And like most young children who have been woken up in the middle of the night, she is now wide awake and practically bursting with energy. And she's very quick to kind of come towards you and hold up her arms for you to pick her up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, sir. There's a bit of a mess out here.
Yeah, you pick her up.
There was something out there, not very nice, and but our Q and our nighty sorted it out for you, so no one came to harm.
She looks at you and plucks a feather off of your shoulder. It's a beautiful feather. It's one of these primary feathers. It's luscious and black, fading to a speckled brown. It's a really, really gorgeous feather, and she plucks it off your shoulder and begins twirling it around, just kind of waving it. And she brushes it under your nose a bit.
Tentacles.
And just kind of, she's quiet, but she's very clearly just very alert now.
Okay.
Oh, this is typical, isn't it? We've been out one night, and do you know what? I don't miss being out on the road. I don't miss this.
So do you think it tastes of chicken?
What doesn't taste of chicken?
Well,
I'll go and check the body. I'm going to go over and check the body. You never know, we might be able to get a decent breast of meat off it for breakfast.
Well, I don't think there's any shortage of meat there, is there?
But I mean, I shall pat the body down just in case anyway. You never know what an owl bear might be carrying.
Yeah, you find that it's wearing a toupee filled with 2 kilos of cocaine.
No. Oh, no, I'm waiting to wear. I'm waiting to watch that.
It was a bald eagle owl bear.
Oh dear.
No, there's a new film out called, and it's about a bear.
Cocaine bear.
Cocaine.
Oh yeah, there's a film, isn't there, about a bear? Yeah. Apparently, it's based on a true story as well. It's a bear that got into.
Yeah.
Strange picnics in Yellowstone Park.
So you pat down the owlbear, you give it a decent frisking, Yeah, there isn't really much there of any particular use. It didn't have particularly deep pockets. It didn't have any gold in it, no weaponry. It was just a poor, innocent Albert. No, so you don't find anything on it. It is a decent voice. It probably weighs 1,500 pounds. It is big. It is a hell of a lump, and you're probably not going to be able to move it without, you know, a couple of you getting involved and actually trying to drag it away.
May I ask a question? Why would an owlbear have pockets?
That's my point.
Because it hasn't got a coat.
Well, I'd like to challenge the fact that it was innocent. I'm pretty sure it started it.
Yeah, it burst into on Earth and attacked one of their members.
Okay. So you're able to find, obviously it's got its claws, which are quite wicked.
It's now dismembered.
It's got its claws, which are obviously quite wicked, quite sharply sharp curving claws. And it's got quite a lot of these lovely feathers. But aside from that, it doesn't have anything particularly important about its right. bearings.
Well, I think that we need to get this out of the way before the kids get up. I think chopping it down into smaller pieces might help.
Laura's going to check that the horses are still where they were tethered and that they haven't just done one.
So, Kieran yeah. is going to start. First of all, he's going to chop off the paws, and then the arms and the legs.
Arms? Wings?
Wings.
Wings. Oh, it's got arms as well, hasn't it?
No, it's got wings and legs. So it's owl on top, bear on bottom.
It's got arms. It's got arms with like bingo wings.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it walks like a bear on all fours,
yeah.
does it?
So he'll do that, take some of the bits and pieces, the feathers for Ivana, and then we'll try and cut a few pieces of the meat up and get rid of it out. You're going to help me chop this thing up and take any choice bits and get the rest into the side before the kids are
there. I'll check it, see if there's anything fancy okay. for breakfast. We can always bit of fried meat to go with our
cold stew. We're not short of meat, are we? We've got dinners leftovers from dinners last night. We're not short of food at the moment.
Okay, so let's see. Simon, Ongfar, you can both make me knowledge nature checks, please.
You might be able to sell it when you get to Stagwick. We're not that far out.
12 for Ogvar.
12, okay.
26 for Simon.
Okay, both of you. Ogvar, maybe you'd perhaps heard of this. You probably haven't tried hunting anything as big as a bear for yourself to eat before. But learning from your master, you'd probably know a little bit about this. Simon, definitely you would have heard or perhaps even seen it before. But you both know that bear meat is riddled with parasites. It's a pretty nasty business, bear meat is. And unless you know how to cook it exactly, it can be very dangerous.
Simon, I've never seen one of these before, but it seems to bear me completely safe.
Well, you can eat it, but only if you're desperate, really. I mean,
I don't think we're desperate, are we?
Nah.
No. Maybe possibly best to just wang it.
I mean, if you're careful skinning it, you might be able to make a nice pair of trousers out the bottom.
Yes, skinning things is not really my forte. I skinned a load of things before, and it was quite amazing how little I actually ended up with.
I was just stood behind queuing again, shaking his head, going, "He didn't skin anything."
Might have helped. It might have been easy if I'd realised that it's easier to do it with a dagger than a longsword, but hey-o.
Yep.
Okay, so, Elora, you go to check on the horses. The Dun hasn't done one, thankfully. They look a little spooked. They're still a little flighty. However, you're very quickly able to placate them and just kind of get them to calm down and you know, just generally stop misbehaving. So, Kirin, you've started dismembering its corpse. Ogvar, I take it you would have probably left Ivona in the carriage?
Yep.
Okay. So, what are you doing with this owlbear?
I thought we were going to... if the food's no good, should we just sort of, like, drag it off into the bushes from whence it came?
Yeah, it works for me.
Okay. So the only thing I've really kept or will keep are the claws and the feathers for Ivona.
Okay. So, yeah. You harvest the claws and feathers, and as a group, you drag this creature off from whence it came. It is heavy. It is really heavy. But nevertheless, you drag it off and you're able to kind of dispose it. You would say that it's probably safe enough disposing it where you have. You haven't managed to take it very far, but as it is, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be gone in not too long. This is possibly, you know, both... Who rolled high on the knowledge nature check on the owlbear?
Me.
Who is it?
Simon.
It's not going to say me, mate.
Simon. Yeah, you would know, Simon, that, you know, owlbears are kind of like the apex predator of an area. They will attack literally anything that moves. If it's bigger than a mouse, it's getting had. They're incredibly territorial, incredibly angry, you know, violent creatures. So this is probably the apex predator of the area. As a second one hasn't turned up, you'd assume that it's a solitary one, and yeah, you're probably not going to encounter anything else tonight, you would say.
Right, well, see, so, you know, it's Esther's finished her shift. I'll turn to right, Esther, it's a waste of time me going back to sleep. I'll just take watch now. And you can get a bit of rest. I'll keep a good watch.
Yes.
And then he'll retrieve his great sword from out the wagon as well, and put it just by the side of him, as well as his shield and bastard sword. So,
yep.
And he'll take his watch.
If you wake me early, fella, I'll make breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so the rest of the night passes fairly quickly. It is, again, very peaceful. You've got a patch on the forest floor, which is now kind of damp and sodden with blood. So you probably just kind of avoid that area. But yeah, it is, again, very peaceful. The wind blows softly. You hear the rustling of needles from these trees. And you have the gentle crackling of the fire. You may have to occasionally get up to put some more fuel on the fire, but other than that, it is a very quiet night. Okay, so morning rolls round. Are you waking up Simon early?
Yes, I'll go to the underneath the wagon and go, Simon, you told me to wake up early. Do you want to start breakfast?
Yeah, I'll get breakfast on. What do people here like, tea or coffee mainly, do you know?
Oh, coffee.
Well, I'll get some coffee on then.
Okay, so, Simon, you set about making a breakfast. I take it you're going to use leftovers, you're going to get tea and coffee on the go. So, yeah, you're able to whip up a really nice-looking breakfast. By the time you're kind of finished, everyone else is up, with the exception of Ivona and Brady, who are still asleep. And yeah, so what are you all doing? You getting a quick breakfast down, you breaking camp, and then setting off as quickly as possible?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So are you going to wake up the children, or are you going to leave some breakfast aside for them?
I'm going to turn to Orland and go, Orland?
Yeah, what is it, mate?
Is it right to put some of this nice hot food inside you, so when the kids get up, they've got a nice hot breakfast.
Yeah, sure thing, mate. As long as I don't get no grabby hands pulling on me toggles.
Oh, no, I'll get it out for them. You know, or Laura or Esther or someone. Yeah, you know, we'll get it out for them, but they'll have a nice, lovely hot meal for breakfast.
What the bloody hell is that?
Oh, it's a bag.
You're talking to it?
Oh, yes, it's Orland. He's part of our group. He's fantastic.
Yeah, hello, mate. What's up, Hairy Bear?
This is Orland.
Bloody hell. Okay.
Orland, this is Simon.
It's not only does he take a lot of stuff to put inside him.
Take a lot of your shit.
If it's hot or cold, it keeps it hot or cold and it doesn't go off.
It? Excuse you, I'm a real bag, thank you very much.
No, yeah, it doesn't go off, i.e. the food.
I wouldn't tussle with him.
But okay. he can be a bit temperamental, but he at the end of the day he's part of the group.
Orland is very passive aggressive.
Why is it dressed like a Tarzan bag?
Don't leave it alone. We've adorned him with what he needs. He is a good party member and I'll hear nothing said against him.
Better just than you.
You don't want to be falling out with him. Gallo did that. Didn't go well for him.
Peacock. Right, okay. Where is it? Make sure it's all covered up. Don't want it flying around loose. I'm not scrambling eggs for you.
Here you go. Put some cover. Yeah.
Yeah. You pop the food into Orland and he, you know, bleh. And yeah, takes it, pops his top flap back down, and then he burps rather loudly.
Laura's gonna check on Rowan.
Yeah, your bat is still there. He's asleep.
Again.
Always.
Okay. She's just gonna pat her side gently, and at least she's just happy that she knows that he's okay anyway.
Okay, so you spend a little while breaking up camp, getting the horses rehitched, eating your breakfast, packing everything away. By the time you're ready to get going, Ivona has woken up and so has Brady. Esther has spent some time with the both of them. She's explained to Brady what's happened. You know, he's been patched up. His sister's fine. You're taking him back to Stagwick. Here's some breakfast. And yeah, so you've given the children food to eat and you are setting off. Okay, so you make your way to Stagwick. The day passes very smoothly. I'm assuming you're going to do something the same as yesterday with Simon up front, wandering around between the edges of the forest, edges of the trees. Ogvar driving. I'm assuming it's going to be the same setup.
Did I get enough sleep overnight to recover some hit points?
So you would have had 8 hours, yeah. You would have... Or enough equivalent resting time, yeah. So you can all heal up if you've lost hit points.
I mean, let's face it, it took 6 seconds from... maybe 12 seconds from the time it came to the camp to being having its head blown off.
Now I'm still suffering from the small pig, the giant owl bear, nothing. The little pig.
You got worried about him to fight an owl bear, but it was somewhat underwhelming.
Shh. We did 78 points of damage to it before it got a go.
I know.
It probably wasn't a massive owl bear.
Okay. So, any abilities that you've used as well, which are expendable abilities, anything like that which you use in your fight against the owlbear, if it says, you know, will regenerate the next day, they will not have regenerated. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay. Only my gauntlet.
Yeah, that's my Crona Charm used for the day.
Okay, so, the day passes relatively nicely. The weather clouds over partway through the morning. It becomes quite grey, quite drab. The wind dies down, however, this gentle breeze dies down, and you're left with this very muggy, oppressive heat. And this path which you're now on has turned very stony, it's very bumpy, and it isn't kind of, it's about midday when the skies open and it begins to rain. It's not a harsh rain, it's not thundering, it's not storming, it just begins to rain. It is this kind of sodden drizzle which just puts a damper on things. However, it does clear the air, it makes the air feel very very cool, it cuts through this high humidity that's been building up, and you have this wonderful scent of petrichor, this smell of cold rain on hot, dusty ground and stone. And it's, you know, for some it's a really pleasant scent, for some it's not. But nevertheless, it's, you know, things begin to freshen up, and you can smell, you know, water on the trees, on these needle trees, the ground, this loamy ground. You can smell the dampness in the air, and it just kind of cuts through and freshens everything up. So, by the time about 3 o'clock rolls around, the path that you've been travelling has slowly opened up. The forests on either side of you have thinned out further, and they've actually kind of almost peeled away. So to your right, the forest has dropped back significantly. To your left, it has dropped back well away from the road now. However, it isn't as you know, as far off as the other side. Simon, as the forest drops off and begins to kind of peel away, what are you doing? Are you staying back with the wagon? Are you just walking on the road?
No, I'll always stay a good sort of 150 foot out front, scanning the ground ahead of where we're going, looking for tracks.
Okay, cool. So, Simon, you are the first to see sight of the town of Stagwick. As the forest is peeled away, it peels back further, and you are left with this in front of you, a fairly decently sized settlement. It has these kind of wooden palisade walls all around the edge, and you can see to the right hand side of the city there is a considerable drop back where clearly trees have been cut down to be used as defences.
Is it a city or a town?
It is a small settlement.
Okay.
So where these trees have been cut down, it's pushed the edge of the forest back and back and back, a bit like a receding hairline. And the edge of the trees is probably about 300, 400 foot away from the nearest town wall. So it's a fairly decent way back. On the left-hand side, you can see there is some deforestation beginning to happen. However, the forest edge is about 100 foot to the wall. It's significantly closer. And this settlement is in front of you. You can see that it is kind of a very rough circular shape. And in front you can see a big set of wooden gates, which have both pushed out. And in front of these wooden gates, set on almost perpendicular on the angle, so one of them is kind of, if you take it as a protractor almost, and your baseline of the protractor, it's like a 45 degree angle, and then the other one's perpendicular to it, a bit set further back, so that you know, any carriage or any significantly large vehicle coming through, or you know, enemies, a horde of enemies, would have to come round one and kind of chicane round. So it's obviously a type of defence to prevent like a massive swarm of creatures, etc., etc.
Okay, yeah. So I shall jog back to the wagon, and right, you've arrived at your town, people.
In an effort to reach Stagwick sooner, the team pushed their travel late into the night. The dark eventually taking its toll, their steeds became spooked by the shifting shadows, and throwing in the towel for the night, they stop to make camp. Wandering through the wilderness is a risky business, and safe passage is not always a certainty. As our companions and their young charges slumber softly, it appears that all was not well. A rude awakening was in store for our tired travellers, and seemingly as sleep appeared to be overrated, an owlbear stumbled into camp, causing a frenetic conflict to ensue. After a devilishly disturbed night and a pertinent discussion about the properties of meat, they hit the wild road once more and finally reached the small, sleepy town of Stagwick. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word so others like you can find us, and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.